Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your boy, JP. Just so you guys know, while we were recording this podcast, we did not get the results of the HOH competition. However, very shortly after we finished recording, the winner was revealed. So if you want to know who won the HOH competition, stick around all the way till the end, and I will let you know in a short little soundbite just like this one. Thank you so much, and enjoy the podcast.
It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar. And as always, during the Big Brother OTT season, I'm here with you live on a Wednesday night, working the night shift to talk to you about the latest eviction in the Big Brother Over the Top House. And with me today are two of my good pals. First is a man who is also very disappointed that the Baltimore Orioles lost yesterday. It's the great Alex Kidwell. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex, how are you?
Yeah, it's a bummer, Jordan. Lifelong Baltimore Orioles fan, but what can you do? More presently, America has spoken, and they filled up on bread. So, you know, they're ready for an entree at this point. No more.
Yeah, no more. Definitely not. Also, a big apologies to Rob Cesternino for the New York Mets losing tonight. Very, very sad if you are a baseball fan. So apologies to Rob. Send him your love. I think this is a dark time for him. So our thoughts are with the Cesternino family this evening. And of course, last but not least, you can't forget him. He was here on Sunday. So great having him back. He's here again tonight, this Wednesday evening, to talk about this great eviction. And I think he enjoyed the reaction to the eviction as much as I did. It's Brent Wolgamott, ladies and gentlemen. Brent, how are you?
That's right. Monty, you said at the beginning of the week, well, cornbread is safe. You thought, bitch, you thought. Okay, no way, Jose, was he ever safe.
I love that. But great job by Jason. I thought that was great. On the
right, he's been waiting to pull that one out. You know that. Come on. Yeah,
definitely. one of the, you know, it was one of the lines in the scripted DRs we saw in the recap that I wasn't like, that sucks. Like the Morgan cheerleading thing, and Chrissy had this rhyme. It sucked, but no way, Jose. I like that. Well done, Jason. Okay, so let's set things up for you guys. So what just happened on BBOTT was we had a weekly recap episode, basically recapping everything that happened in the BBOTT house. But pretty much everybody that's been watching Big Brother Over the Top is a pretty diehard fan. So they are keeping up with the live feed. So you guys, if you watched it tonight, you pretty much got to see what you already knew. So we didn't get a ton of new information. We got some extra diary rooms, and we will get into that in a little bit. We also saw the eviction, which happened. Cornbread was evicted by a vote of 9-1. We will get into that shortly. And the HOH is currently happening. So a lot of stuff going on, but you know, already, you know, we kind of knew what was going on with the information that we already had, but we'll jump into it shortly. Just want to let you guys know, if you want to catch Big Brother Over the Top, if you haven't got into it yet, and you know, I'm highly optimistic. I've really enjoyed this season so far. I know the LFC is liking it more than they thought they would as well. You can get CBS All Access and subscribe by going to robiswebsite.com/BBOTT. That way you can sign up, you can watch the feeds, you can watch the episode recaps, the daily recaps, all that great stuff. Go check it out if you haven't already. And quickly, before we get into tonight's show, just an official announcement. We've been teasing it for a while. There is a Big Brother Over the Top live show happening in a couple weeks in New York City. And if you want, if you're around, you can have the chance to meet myself, Brent, Alex, Taryn, Rob, some Big Brother house guests, all for $10. It's going to be a great night. Tickets are now on sale. You can go to robiswebsite.com/BBOTT live. So if you're in the New York area, you can check that out. Just trying to figure out the exact date here. It's Tuesday, October 25th. So right. A little over two weeks away.
I like how you sell that, because like it was like, you can meet me, Brent, Taryn, Alex, and some Big Brother house guests too.
Well,
Yes. I mean,
if you're listening to there, right? If you're listening to the Happy Hour, you're a fan of the LFC. You want to meet these guys. You want to see Brent throw some shade at you. You want Taryn to tell you that you're wrong. You want Alex to tell you how he's so reliable.
By the way, and Taryn's ass was wrong. Who was telling us at the beginning of the week, you want to nominate Shane because that's the best way to keep Jason safe, that, you know, don't put up Cornbread because Cornbread, there's no way he's going to go home.
I mean,
the great thing
might have worked too. We don't know.
It could have, but the great thing is that Taryn, he had to. It's past Taryn's bedtime. We're working the night shift. It's very late on the East Coast, so Taryn cannot rebut what Brent is saying. Right. So I'm excited to listen to the Friday show on RHAP to hear what he has to say. Just to set things up for you guys, we are live on robinsonwebsite.com. We got the chat room going, so if you want to chat to some people that are watching this thing live, you can do that there. You can also send some questions in to us that we will answer later on in the show. You can tweet me. I am at Jordan Parhar. Use hashtag Happy Hour, and we will get into those later on in the show. Okay, guys, let's talk about Cornbread. Cornbread goes home. Oh, my goodness. Alex Kidwell, did you expect what we saw? I know they say I'm Big Brother, expect the unexpected, but that was so amazing. It was great.
Yeah, that was pretty priceless. I mean,
I can't believe that we had someone swear at other house guests.
Okay, yes, I know, right?
First time, is that the first time we've ever seen someone just say "f all of you people"?
F y'all.
No,
it's been a while. Brent, f y'all.
Well, okay, this is the deal. Like, this is what we get when James isn't in the damn house, because we get an actual blind side. This bitch did not know he was going home. So that's why he was so he was shook. I mean, when he heard that Chrissy had no votes, okay? He's looking at Danielle going, it's probably me. And I think it all came crashing down on him. You know, he had like the four horsemen. He thought he was safe. And then like he got put up by America. Then he's trying to like rationalize it, saying, well, America maybe wanted to see me compete or something, you know, crazy. No, bitch, we you know why we put you up. And I love it. And I know I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I love it that the house guests slowly figured out what we wanted I'm including me as America. That we wanted Cornbread out and why we wanted him out. The things that he had said in the house kind of made their way around the house, and that combined with his snoring, combined with, you know, some moves made by Danielle and Neely and some other people, combined to give us a really, really fun eviction, and it was a total blindside. Total blindside.
you have that moment, right, where Chrissy stands up and says, you know, let's like give America what they want, basically.
Yes.
And Cornbread in that moment is like, yeah, clearly bothered by that. You know, like, this whole thing has really derailed his personality has definitely changed since America nominated him. Like, everything he thought this was going to be has kind of derailed on him a bit. And then, yeah, Brent spoke about the moment when he heard Chrissy had zero votes. And yeah, I talked about it on Twitter because I just thought it was fantastic. He lets out a noise that is clearly involuntary, but it's like it's just like it falls out of his face. It's just like a he knows what that means. It's fantastic. It's quiet, but it's great. It's like it's the epitome of Cornbread's game, basically, in one sound.
Alex, when was the last time we were this wrong about somebody in the preseason? Because, you know, you and I, Rob, we were all very high on Cornbread, thinking, oh, America's gonna vote. They're gonna love Cornbread. He's gonna be awesome. And he's first out. Like, I never would have guessed that he would have been the last person I would have guessed that would have gone home first going into this season.
Well, it was all downhill the moment he puts the BB bug on Jason. You know, like, that's the person who did that was going to be associated with negativity. Jason is at this point pretty much the person, like, if you're not aligned with Jason, you got an uphill, more of an uphill battle than people Jason is working with at this point. It seems pretty clear. And, you know, there's time so that the narrative and all that can change and other people can emerge. And maybe, you know, the fact that, you know, people really like Justin, like, who knows where that goes and other things like that. But for right now, yeah, Cornbread did himself no favors in week one by, you know, before they really knew what the rules were going to be, Julie said, like, more things are going to be announced. America's going to have a bigger influence than ever before. So that means you should tread lightly. And Cornbread said, you know, F it, I'll do it. Give it to me. I'll put it on Jason. Like he was willing to take it up, and he said, go big or go home, and out you go. You're home, buddy. Sorry. That's the way it goes sometimes.
I just have to say, I am thrilled with this result for a variety of reasons. But mainly because this guy was such a fame whore, and I'm saying this as a potential fame whore, so I feel like I can criticize him. But he's been auditioning for every show under the sun. He's been on Honey Boo Boo. I think he's even related to somebody on there. He's been trying to get on The Amazing Race, trying to get on Survivor, trying to get on Big Brother. Finally got on. Then he gets on the broke down version of Big Brother, which is BBOTT, which, by the way, I think is better than the proper Big Brother, but we'll talk about that. But there's no live show, no Julie Chen, no live audience. And like I said, he's being taken to a bus terminal right now in a Pinto, given money to go home. Like, that's what happened. And not only that, he was out in the first week. How embarrassing. Girl, bye.
Oh, man. And we will talk about that the live show in a bit. But Alex, I want to ask you, when did the feeders know that Cornbread was going to go home pretty much unanimously? Because based on what I heard on Tuesday on the podcast on RHAP, I kind of thought, you know, maybe there was a chance Chrissy could still go home.
Right. So when everyone really realized things happened, and really it didn't even, I guess it was really transpiring as, you know, Rob and Meech and Taryn were recording last night, and then continuing into around, you know, 10 p.m. Big Brother time when we got these live DRs, which, I mean, have been so illuminating, Jordan. Like, I cannot stress enough how cool it is to see these live DRs, to see, to get, I mean, it really gives us insight that we've never had before. I mean, I was taking all kinds of notes during those because I found them so insightful. You get a one-on-one perspective. They're answering questions completely uninhibited of anyone else hearing them, so they can be completely honest. And they're talking to America, and they know that, and they know America has a role in the game. So they're wanting to, you know, sell themselves. So it does create like really good stuff, and we learn who people are targeting, and we learn who they trust. And some people who think, you know, this is my ride or die, they have a different ride or die, and we know that now because of these, you know, unscripted, uncut, unfiltered, you know, DRs where they just kind of came in one at a time, answered like 10 questions, and then left.
Brent, can you describe what the live DRs exactly entailed for those who just listened to the podcast and didn't actually have a chance to watch them?
Sure. It was actually very fun. And I agree with Alex, getting to listen to these people that, you know, without being edited to death, without being like stuff being hidden that we, you know, maybe could have seen but didn't see. I love this aspect of Big Brother. They came into the Big Brother diary room one by one. There was a sheet taped to the, you know, to the fourth wall that we can't see. And they were instructed by the disembodied voice to sit down in the chair, take out their microphone, and wait for their diary session to begin. Once their session to be, and we could see all of this, by the way, so there's no editing. Then once the voice said that your diary session can begin, you were instructed to read off the question so we know what question you're answering, and then answer the question in your own words. And there were about, I don't know, Alex, how many were, like 7, 8, 10 questions, something like that, where the house guests had
from player to player based on how interested the fans are.
Right, exactly. And some people really like flew through them. Other people really were very verbose and talked for a long time. I remember Shane talking. They were like, you have 2 minutes left. And like, they didn't have to tell anybody else that. So, you know, it was like, girl, pick up the pace here. You're taking a long time. Other people like Alex and Morgan really took this as an opportunity to talk to us as America, the feeders, you know, Jason too, who, you know, they were like, hey, America, hey, feeders, how you doing? That sort of thing, which I really liked. And they really let us in on their strategy. We got to hear who they trust the most, who they're really targeting. I was illuminated about some of these people, about who they are annoyed by. And this, by the way, was right on the heels, like right as these DRs were happening, was right when the wheels were turning for Cornbread to be eliminated. So you could see it on Shane, Danielle, other people's, Neely's faces, that they were excited about what they had just pulled off, that they had just changed it from Chrissy going home to Cornbread going home. And I was very, very fun to see in real time.
That's Alex, right. That was your question, Jordan. That's where I was going with that, is that, yeah, happening during the live DRs was all of that. And yeah, you definitely got the reaction where, you know, all of a sudden certain people, you know, said, I knew what was going on. Now things seem to be changing at the moment. And, you know, Danielle says, I feel really good about where I'm at. You know, I'm safe on the block, and I feel like I've pulled things together to keep Chrissy safe as well. So, yeah, I mean, things really did seem to be developing as that was going on last night. Also very interesting from those live DRs is, you know, to see, and I kind of predicted this, you know, I talked about the other shoe falling when they learned just how big of an impact America was going to have in this game. And yeah, I mean, everyone was totally on board to target Jason just a few days ago. And it's fascinating to see how many people, you know, it's funny, but I really trust Jason. He's someone I think I can really work with. And I'll be like, all right, okay. Especially coming from Cornbread. It's like, it may be true. Like maybe he was trying to double back, but at this point it's like, you know, no chance, dude. Like, it's just funny. Almost everyone is down to work with Jason now. And that's kind of like the effect of, you know, I kind of, each twist, each America's imprint is kind of like when you like tap the fish tank, right? And like a big enough tap and the fish are just going to like go hide under the little cave where the man is. So, the scuba man. So,
right. And that's the thing. Like Jason has star power. I mean, even in this house with these people, they really are intrigued by him. Justin too. But I think a lot of people don't really take Justin seriously. They don't respect him. While they enjoy his presence, they don't respect him. Jason, on the other hand, they do respect and they are entertained by, and that's enough to, you know, really flip his situation around. I mean, he could still possibly go home. Like if somebody like Whitney gets HOH, maybe Monty like forces her to do something. Monty still has a hard on for getting Jason out of the house. Other than that, though, I think Jason's in a really good position.
So what, just taking away what you guys learned from the live DRs then, Alex, what do you think was the main reason why Cornbread went home? Was it because the house guests genuinely did not like him? Or do you think it's this influence that America has and them getting the idea, oh, wait, America doesn't like Cornbread. Let's vote him out. I want to be on Team America.
It was a cocktail and a snowball effect, really. You have the cocktail being that Cornbread's behavior definitely changed after he was nominated by America. You got to remember, this is a guy who didn't come in as a super fan. This is a guy who's not approaching Big Brother, maybe, or not thinking about the game. Maybe, you know, us and a lot of the people listening to this podcast would, you know, this is a guy who was on the Honey Boo Boo show. I guess apparently, you know, may or may not be related. I don't think they're actually related, but, you know, they may be kin, quote unquote, you know, you know how that works. So, or I know how that works, having family from the South. Anyways, yeah, so, you know, he was really, really disturbed by the notion that America didn't like him, and it really affected his mood, and it caused him to lash out at people in ways that he hadn't been doing before. And people are like, wow, Cornbread is really a loose cannon. And the biggest thing that happened was, like, even the boys, right, the guys, the four horsemen, quote unquote, as he had named them, and nobody else had really, you know, signed off on, had they decided he was too much of a liability to fight for. And so Scott became indifferent about protecting Cornbread, even though Cornbread in the live diary room said Scott was his number one ally. And more importantly, Danielle started to push the narrative that, like, Chrissy is nice, Cornbread sucks, Shane, like, if you care about me, you will do this. And Shane ultimately didn't care enough about Cornbread to fight Danielle on it. So he, once he's willing to go along with it, then him and Danielle go up to Monty together. And, you know, a couple in that position where Shane has a lot of allies and Danielle is close with Jason and Neely and a lot of people, like, they now, that couple, even though neither one seems to be like particularly manipulative or particularly good at the game, like, they now represent a pretty strong dynamic in the house.
Yeah, Brent, what was up with Cornbread like losing his mind on Shelby in the recap yesterday? Did you see that?
Yes. I mean, he's just been, ever since she made that comment about him, you know, it wasn't a nice comment, but he's the kind of guy who would go in the bathroom and, you know, not flush the toilet or something like that. That's basically what she said. He has just been on her. I will say that he's not alone. A lot of people don't really like Shelby. I loved her like the first few days. She's slowly losing a little bit of the veneer, a little bit, although I still enjoy her. Mainly, I love Shelby, but Jason doesn't like Shelby and I like Jason, so I kind of want them to work together. And the thing is that Shelby likes Jason, but Jason doesn't really like Shelby. So it's like there's a couple people that are really rubbed wrong by Shelby. She's kind of one of these girls that if you don't get her sarcastic wit, then you just aren't going to enjoy her. I think that was a big aspect of Cornbread as well. He didn't understand. He thought she was picking on him, and really it was sort of a, it was just a flippant comment that was meant as a joke. But again, as Alex noted, once America nominated Cornbread, you know, he can rationalize in front of the veto ceremony all he wants about, well, you know, obviously America, they must have put me up because they wanted to, you know, see me in the competition, or they wanted to challenge me. Or as Jason said, you know, they wanted a weaker competition against Jason. No, we nominated Cornbread. I know I did, and I put all my votes on him except for a few that I threw at Shane, just because Taryn was telling me that Shane was the better option. I told him, I said, you know, we want to nominate Cornbread because I think that he could be evicted. Like, he's somebody that is really annoying the living shit out of me right now, and I want him out of the house. And I was glad to see that it worked.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were happy that your wish came true, Brent.
Thank you. Yes. But by the way, too, I just want to note this because I'm sure we're going to forget about it. Believe it or not, this came up. His snoring, and I know it sounds so petty to talk about, but once you live with these people in those close quarters, you cannot get away from them. His snoring kept people up throughout the night. It was absolutely like a train. It was absolutely like a locomotive. Like, I mean, I know very few people in the world that snore like that. And it was so funny. You listen to the people talk about getting Cornbread out. One of their reasons was, oh, and he snores. I mean, and that seemed to be at the front of their mind. So, you know, don't ever underestimate how the little things can really cause someone's downfall in the house if people are weighing the two back and forth going, he's also bugging the shit out of me because he snores and I can't sleep, so let's get rid of him. You know, there just was no person fighting for Cornbread, and you know, who doesn't fight for Cornbread?
So Alex, now that Cornbread's gone home, how, and we've seen the result of this, you know, America puts him on the block, America votes against Cornbread. How do you think this is going, how do you think America is really going to be involved in this game moving forward? Is this involvement going to grow even more in terms of influencing the House? Or do you think this was just because it was a combo of Cornbread being a bit of an idiot and America not liking him? That's why their opinion matters so much this week.
No, I mean, I think you're going to see people try to find ways to play the game and, you know, influence the votes the way they want them to go while still not doing things that makes them an enemy of the viewers. At least the people who are really thinking about this game, like Scott and Alex, like that's kind of the direction they seem to be leaning, is like, that's what you have to do. Like, you have to be willing to work with Jason, at least for now. And, you know, I mean, surely, like, you can work with Jason, and there's going to come a point, right, at like Final Five or Final Four, where you can just do this kind of, like, you know, cut the wire at that point and let him go. And like, what can America really do about it in the home stretch? You know, so I think that is probably the way to play this. Make the road easier for yourself. You know, why go against the people that are going to be protected and, you know, make yourself a potential have not every week and make yourself a potential nominee? And, you know, like Scott, you know, Scott was worried about the fact that, like, well, if people see me as Cornbread's number one and, you know, the same person can't be nominated by America in consecutive weeks, that's something we've learned, then, you know, why wouldn't they put me up next if they can't use Cornbread again? So I've got to distance myself from Cornbread.
That was what I was going to bring up too. I was so struck by Scott, like, it so slowly illuminating to us and to him that if Cornbread is the person who America hates and they can't nominate him back to back, who's the next best option if I'm seen as being his protector? Obviously, it's going to be me. And, you know, whether or not that would happen, I think, is debatable. But, you know, he doesn't know anything. He just knows what's being presented to him. And I think he made the only call he could, given the circumstances.
Brent, I want to ask you about Alex and not Alex Kidwell, sister Alex. And her hinky vote that she threw out tonight. I mentioned that it was a 9-1 vote. Eight people voted to evict Cornbread. America voted to evict Cornbread. But Alex decided that she wanted to switch things up a little bit and throw a hinky vote out there. So what do you think about this move, Brent? Do you think this is going to pay off in the long run, or do you think this is going to come back to haunt Alex in the long term?
I have figured out in my life, I love all Alexes. I really do, because I love this girl. She talks my language. She thinks about the game like I do. I love the fact that she came in the diary room. She knew exactly what she was going to say. You know, time to cause a little bit of paranoia. That's what she said. You know, I'm going to vote to evict Danielle. And she knew she was going to be the only vote to evict Danielle. Everyone thought it was going to be a 10-0 vote. The fact that it was 9-1, Danielle is thinking that America hates her, that they voted to evict her. And of course, no one really knows. So except for Alex, and I think Morgan might eventually know. Like, Morgan asked Alex, you know, so what happened? She was about ready to tell her, and then Jason walked out of the bathroom. So she was like, I don't know what happened with, you know, with the with that one vote. I love this move. It creates paranoia. She's targeting Danielle. So if people think that America hates Danielle, obviously that's more incentive for people to get Danielle out of the house. That's what she wants to do. She wants to split those two up and get Shane back on her side again. Shane is really, in my eyes, the fulcrum point of the house. There are people on the left and people on the right, a group of like Monty, Alex, Morgan, Whitney, Shelby, and let's stop right there. And then on the other side, Neely, Jason, Justin, Chrissy, and I'm forgetting someone, Danielle. Scott. Danielle's over there too. Shane is sort of in the middle of both of those people. I forgot Scott as well. He's sort of in the middle too.
In the middle of both, yeah.
Exactly. So they're fighting for his attention at this point. The girls really do not like Danielle. In fact, everybody but Alex, who knows the real reason why there was a 9-1 vote, thinks that America voted to evict Danielle. Now they're bitter because they think, well, with the four girls and us and America, we could have had enough votes to make a tie. And Monty said, I would have voted to evict Danielle. So they're bitter about that. Of course, Alex knows that we really didn't do that. So Alex is the only person with real information at this point. Alex is the only person who knows that America did indeed vote to evict Cornbread, because she knows she was the only vote to evict Danielle. So information is power in this game, and I like her position. I really like what she did tonight.
Kidwell, in terms of OTT, do you think this is also a beneficial move for Alex in the fact that she can maybe gain some favor with America for actually doing something rather than going with the unanimous vote?
Interesting question, Jordan. And I had this exact question, right after she did it. So I put a poll up on Twitter because I was very curious as to that exact response. And let's see, 439 votes so far, 38%. The question is, it's time for America's vote. Alex's decision to put a hinky vote on Danielle made me more likely to nominate her, less likely to nominate her, no change. So far, 38% say less likely, 36% say no change, and 26% say more likely. So it seems like, at least with my followers, which again tend probably more skewed on the strategy side, prefer the players that are willing to make the hinky votes. They like this move. I have seen a lot of complaining, so it's interesting to see how torn the overall basis.
But isn't that the point, though? I mean, aren't the people who are watching this show like us? I mean, I heard Scott on the feed today saying, I'm not a casual, and like he even knew what the word casual meant. Like, the people who are watching are not all of America. These are not the same people who gave Corey a damn America's Care package, okay? I just saw an article about BBOTT, which is basically, the title of it was, I want to love BBOTT, but BBOTT won't let me. And it was a great article about how badly, from a certain perspective, this show is being marketed, packaged, and doled out to America. They're not great recap shows. Tonight's show was a good show, but before tonight, it was really hard to follow what's happening in the house. And the video clips are all in a random order sometimes. You don't know what they're related to or what order they came in. So it was just, I forgot my point, but I was going, what was I talking about?
An article that you read. An article.
Yeah, I know,
but
what was that relating to? I forget. Like, I was.
America will, think about Alex casting a hinky vote.
Oh, yes, exactly. Thank you. Exactly. The fact that Alex, the player, cast a hinky vote. I think, the people that are watching the show are like me, and they love her for that. I mean, she explained what she was doing. She has a plan. I mean, I don't love that she's with the people she's with, like Whitney and Monty and those people. Like, I don't love her for that. But her overall star power in the game overshadows that. To me, like I don't like the people she's with, but I love her. So if she won HOH, I wouldn't be all upset about it. I love the fact that she's here to win it. And I love the fact that these two girls, looking alike as they are, they have somehow managed to hoodwink these house guests into thinking that they are two different girls from the state of Texas who just happen to really look alike. It's not dawned on anybody really that they're two sisters playing right in front of them. So good for her. And I have to think that the people, all of the votes that are going to happen are basically from people like ourselves. This was my point, tying it to that article, because it's so damn hard to watch this show. It's so damn hard to see what's going on. And so if you're going to take the time to figure out what's going on and watch all the articles and the video clips and the show and the recap and the live feeds and go online and vote, you're going to be like us. You're going to know what you're doing and care about the game. You're not going to care about people like James doing a prank every day and making everybody laugh. That's the point I'm trying to get across. So I think Alex will be in she'll be in fine shape.
Brent mentioned the recap show, Alex. What did you think of the recap show? I know some people, I saw some mixed reviews. You know, some people like Brent thought it was great. Some other people were like, maybe not so much.
It was good.
Good. Okay. So Brent says good. What do you say, Alex? Did you enjoy it? Because you saw pretty much all that stuff, you know, from the feeds, obviously, because you watch the feeds all the time. But even from I was just watching the recaps, like the daily recaps, and it seemed like I pretty much got that entire episode already just based on those 10-minute recaps.
Yeah, and in fact, I think that it may have been those recaps put together. It may have literally been that. If there may have been like a few additions here and there, but yeah, pretty much it was the episode replays. So, right. But I get it. You know, like some people are going to be more involved than others, and I think it's good to have a weekly show. So, you know, maybe you don't need the daily recaps, but I think the daily recaps are kind of cool for people. It's like you've got three levels of investment, right? Like people can get in on like the bronze, silver, and gold level of like, how much do you really want to give a shit about this thing? So I'm cool with it.
On the other hand, I don't know why they don't have a daily recap, and maybe this will change going forward, but why do they not have a daily recap on Saturday and Sunday? Those are the days when like the game really hits full stride. So if you're going to not do a live recap, pick two other days, for God's sake. Don't pick Saturday and Sunday.
We don't want to work on the weekends.
Exactly. Production doesn't want to work.
Come on. This is a cash cow for them. I'm paying freaking $9.99 a month to watch this damn show. They can at least get in there. And you could put freaking Taron Armstrong in the CBS studios, throw some clips together like, you know, Jason was talking to Justin earlier today and they had a conversation about the nominees. You know, that's all you need to do. It's not that damn hard.
Is that your Taron impression?
Well, you know, that was my disembodied BB voice impression.
Okay. Previously on Big Brother.
I'm with you, Brent. I think it's stupid. I mean, why not just hire some freelancer to sit there on Saturday and Sunday, do that recap, and then we have something every single day. So that way, and it's 10 minutes. It's not like it's, right? It's not that hard. So anyway, I didn't really understand that. The other thing, that we should talk about is the live show. I mean, this is, or the live aspect of it, the eviction.
Right.
Very, very interesting. So we see in the recap episode, Julie Chen has her live check-ins with the house guests that are obviously pre-recorded, mm-hmm. where she talks about the twist and everything. But then we get to the eviction night, and we see the episode ends, and it cuts to the couch, and it's like, okay, I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, okay, where's Julie? This is great. Finally, live Julie. She won't be lying anymore, because she will actually be live. And no, Julie Chen is not there to host it, but in fact, Monty, the HOH, is like the host of Big Brother for the night. Like what did you think of this, Brent? I feel like they should have just called Big Jeff and just got Big Jeff to stand there and, you know, on the screen and, you know, ask a couple. It's not that hard. You ask like two questions,
right?
You the vote, and then you're out of there. It's done.
Well, it turns out Monty knew more than we did when he won HOH and said, "This makes me the main character for the week." He knew. Who knew?
Well, right? I mean, there were a couple of issues with it, obviously. Foremost, I was thinking, why are we not seeing these people when they're in the diary room? Like, I don't know what you guys were getting. And maybe I was on a – was I know?
No, if you go – here's a pro tip for next week for you guys watching the eviction live. Brent, if you click on the quad cam, you'll get all the cams.
Okay.
But if you click on cam 3, at least that's what it was for this week, you will get the diary room. So you will
– Well, I was only getting the hallway. So, like, they would walk in and to the diary room, and after they would go in the diary room, I would not see them, and I would just hear these voices saying, "I vote to evict Cornbread. I vote to evict Cornbread." So, I'm not used to this on a live show, so I can always go back and watch stuff. I rarely use the quad cam, but the point made. Thank you very much. I'm sure other people probably had that problem too.
I did, Brent. I was on cam 1 though, so it was like just stuck on a close up of Cornbread's face, and I was like, "This can't be right." After like three people had voted, I'm like, "Something's got to be off."
Right? Thank you.
Then
okay. Okay.
Quad trick. Yeah.
Good deal. I thought it was. Look, obviously they can only get Julie there for one day. They're gonna have her there on Thursdays. I think it was a little bit oversold to America when they talked, because they said, "Oh, Julie's still gonna be on BBOTT. It's the same old thing. She's gonna be there." No, she's not gonna be there for the evictions. I thought maybe she would even be recorded, but they didn't even have that. Like, it was so funny to me because all day today, they were getting ready for the live show. They got all gussied up. You saw them all there, ready to go. Even Cornbread had his tuxedo shirt on or whatever. And there's no live audience. There's no host. There's no nothing, baby. It's a broke down version of Big Brother where they got done with that recap and they cut to them on the couch and you heard the disembodied voice and it was like, Monty, go. And he was like, you know, you all have been nominated for eviction. And I will say this, I've been throwing shade on Monty all week. I thought he did a passable job actually kind of like pausing to read the votes. Like when he did it like Julie, like Chrissy, you have with zero votes to evict, you are safe. And he's like, it's between Cornbread and Danielle. And with the 9-1 vote, Cornbread, you've been evicted from the house. Like, he did an okay job. Whether or not it's exactly whether or not it was whether or not it was a good idea, I think can be argued. But I am so high on Big Brother OTT as a whole and what we're getting, and the lack of blockage, the lack of Jeff Fish, all the behind the curtain kind of stuff that we're getting to see. I can put up with freaking Monty having to read the votes at the eviction ceremony if I get all this other stuff. So I give it a passing grade of an A.
So yeah, Brent's right, man. Like, I'm hard-pressed to think of a – and it was the first eviction of the season. So, like, you think on some level there's, like, some excitement for something different after 6 days of the same. But this was maybe the most depressing eviction ceremony I've ever watched, from, like, Cornbread's exit – to like everyone's like reaction when they realize live eviction has nothing to do with whether or not you get an audience or a host,
right? Or a host, yeah,
or anything,
right?
Yeah,
right? Anything. Or anything, right? Exactly. So just so everybody knows what's happening tomorrow, Julie Chen is going to be on. She's going to be doing a live question and answer session with the house guests, and then she's also going to be doing an eviction interview with Cornbread. I think that's what we're getting from Julie tomorrow, and I think that's the extent of it. After that, the week is pretty much as normal. Although, just FYI, have not voting is to begin. And if you do nothing for me, people, you must make sure that Monty is a have not. And we must make sure that the have not food is candy and Cokes, because this guy will go insane. If you heard him earlier in the week, he was like, you know, I almost ate some junk food today. I was going to eat a few almonds or something like that. And Shelby was like slapping him, you know? So like, if he's a have not, oh baby, it's going to be good TV.
Or give him almonds and right? See how he survives on his junk food.
His junk food, right? Oh, I wanted to slap him.
It's stacked in FL in the chat room is reminding me. Julie is on the Late Late Show tonight. So maybe that's a fact. Oh. Like maybe she will be in a future show, but clearly, you know, hey.
Although, but the
priorities.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Don't they tape the Late Late Show during the day, though? I mean, who knows? Okay, quickly, before we get to the HOH comp, Alex, what did you like then? This was our first experience with the BBOTT, you know, episode recap and an eviction and everything. What did you like and what did you not like? What do you think that, what would you like to see moving forward if you could change one thing?
I don't know. I think, you know, it's similar to the, you know, the quote unquote premiere, you know what I mean? Where it's just like, yeah, I guess things could just be a little cleaner. I don't know. In some respects. I mean, I don't really have an issue with it, I guess, though, ultimately, because it's like, it's raw, you know, that's what you get when it's not edited and packaged. So, you know, you're going to get some moments that feel awkward and delayed because that's reality when we don't have feeds being cut and we don't have all these other things going on. So like from a production standpoint, I mean, I think it'd be cool for them to just have an audience. You can't find like, you know, people on Venice Beach who are down to like fill the set for the day. Like, hey man, we'll like buy you a sandwich. Like, oh sweet man. Yeah. I'll come check out Big Brother. That's cool. Like how hard is that? Give them an audience. Come on.
If you look at the budget for the HOH competitions, Alex, I don't know if they can afford to buy 50 people a sandwich.
This is like Justin. This is raw and uncut, baby. Okay. That's what he said. He said it in his diary room. I'm just quoting him. All right. So, like, I love it like this. I mean, I love seeing all the little things that are always hidden from us. You know, we're always complaining about so much blockage on the feeds. You know, you can't have it both ways, people. If you want it to be a nice, polished show, then you're going to get Jeff Fish for 5 hours. You know, something, I think it was the BB president or maybe Coco on Twitter who said, you know, like this veto competition took like 30 minutes. If this was regular Big Brother during the summer, the feeds would be off for another 5 hours after that competition. But instead, we got to see real reactions in real time right after the show. Nothing was cut, so we got to see everything. We got to see how bitter everybody was that Jason won and who was happy for him. Like, I love seeing stuff like that. And so I, you know, more of this, less of the polish, and I'll be happy.
Alex, quickly, we were talking in the pre-show about a tweet you had about Justin describing something that he said. Could you say the quote that Justin said, and then if you could tell us about what a friend of the podcast, Antonio Mazzaro, said in response to that.
Sure. Yes. Yeah, that was pretty great. So, you know, this was another cool thing where it's like feeds would maybe be down again for this in normal Big Brother. But we had this moment where, you know, Cornbread has Effie-alled his way out of the house and Monty is called up to the upstairs bedroom. And then the other 11 people are just sitting in the bedroom together. And it's like super awkward. They're all just like in their athletic gear waiting for this comp to start. And waiting for the power to be up for grabs again. And everyone's got targets in that tiny little room. And they're all just looking around saying nothing. And of course, Justin is the only person who like couldn't care less. He's like shadow boxing and like doing like Street Fighter, like Hadoukens with like spinning uppercuts in the air and just being absurd. And then at one point, Scott said something about like fees being $6.99 or something. And Justin was like, oh, what's $6.99? And he was like, fees. He's like, oh, what's that? And just people just ignored the question, but I totally picked up on it. I thought that was great. And then yes, Antonio's reply was, that's where people go to see your dick, dude, because indeed that has been the place to go to see live Justin nudity the last week. It's a hotbed.
Oh man, between that and Cornbread, that really made my night. So Antonio, if you're listening, thank you. We appreciate that comment.
Right.
Okay, before
if
we
you,
go to
by the way, I want to tell people out there, if you've never listened to the Diary Room sessions, just go and listen to Justin's Diary Room, because he has so many Louisiana, New Orleans like colloquialisms that he's saying in his speech. Like, I've never heard anybody say, you know, right from Jump Street, I did this. And, you know, and he also said, like, right off the dump, like, not right off the jump, right off the dump. And I know he said that.
And he said it twice, too. Yeah.
Right? Like, right off the dump. Like, I didn't like
her. Was he talking about Cornbread?
I don't know what he's talking about, but he's just like, he just has all these funny sayings. And like, it's so funny because they always cast somebody from like that eastern part of the United States, like Boston, New York, New Jersey, those kind of people. And I love those. Anybody with an accent, I love accents. I never realized how much I like a Louisiana, you know, Creole accent. Like, he's so fun to listen to. He's one of these people I could listen to him like read the phone book and I'd be happy.
No, it's truly like one of the most like America's so great, right? You have like all these different pockets and different accents. And yeah, to me, that is one of the most beautiful accents that like America has to offer.
Right. And we never hear it. Like, I can't remember the last person with a Creole Louisiana accent that I heard on a reality TV show. More of these kind of people, please.
Well, I was going to say,
I do declare.
Yeah. Do we vote now? If you didn't see that, like right after the veto ceremony, like they had just named the replacement nominee, Chrissy was put up as replacement nominee, and they were all tense sitting there, and Monty adjourned them, and Justin was like, so do we vote now? I'm like, no, dude, you got like 3 more days for that. Like, he's just so precious.
And it's also funny in these live DRs, people are like, Justin is definitely smarter than he's acting.
Oh,
and I'm like,
yes.
Like, this is like keeping you up at night, and he is sleeping soundly, and it's really funny to me.
Oh man. Okay, before we get into the listener questions, Brent, could you explain to the audience what this HOH competition is and how things have gone so far?
Well, first of all, Big Brother has a great sense of humor because Monty is there. Remember, he's the outgoing HOH competition or HOH, so he can't compete in this week's competition. They have him there on a throne with a crown, which is exactly how he's been acting all week long. So they're in on the joke, I think. You have to stand on a pedestal, and you had 2 minutes. Basically, you have a long stick. It's a sword, we're calling it, and it has a handle, and it sort of bends, too. It's not exactly perfectly straight. It's a little bendy. And you there's a flat crown, and there's a picture of yourself, and you have to make sure that you hold the crown on your head and be the last person standing to do that. You can only hold the handle of the sword, and you're probably about, give or take, about 8 to 10 feet away. So that is a lot of leverage that you have to be able to maintain to keep in place. You know, you basically have to have enough pressure to be able to hold the sword against, flat against the crown to keep it on your head, but also not push too hard that you bend the sword so much that the crown comes down. So it's a very interesting competition. There are currently 4 people out of the competition right now, and I'm assuming we can say who it is, because there's no spoilers here. Like, I mean, there's no such thing as a spoiler in BBOTT. So no. Jason was the first one out of the competition with Shelby. Shane was out next, and then I can't tell, is that Alex
Morgan.
Or Morgan?
Morgan.
Okay, cool. So those 4 people are out. So basically, 2 people from each side. I'm kind of putting Shane with Jason for a second, because I don't think he would target him. So it's, the house is very split right now. There's basically 2 different sides, and the Monty, Whitney, Alex, Morgan side of the house, they really have they want to get Danielle out of the house. So that's my read on the situation. There's, like, if you look, there's a chart going around that you actually DM'd to me, JP, where people were, they went over the live diary rooms about who these people trust and who they are targeting. And Danielle had a lot of arrows going to her as far as who people are targeting. Shelby did as well. As far as trusting people, Monty had a lot of people trusting him, and Jason had a lot of people trusting him. So it was a very illuminating experience seeing that. Again, I think Danielle's in trouble if somebody from the Monty Whitney side of things wins HOH. On the other hand, if somebody from Jason's side wins, Alex, who do you think would not be nominated? Then Shelby might be possibly nominated, and I don't know how they feel about Monty.
Yeah, I mean, I know Neely, the one person Neely talked about wanting to target was Shelby.
Right.
Danielle didn't really talk about targeting anyone. Right. She just talked about, like, who she trusts, who she likes. Jason, you know, he's willing to target anyone, and he just wants to play with people. He feels like, you know, the hard part for the game for him is going to be just finding people who are willing to work with him. So Jason, I think he has the right approach where he's willing to work with anyone. And, you know, target pretty much anyone. He just needs people that he can play with.
Right. So, and by the way, after in this competition, after an hour, it's going to get harder. Right now, you can hold on to the sword with both hands. And after an hour, you're going to have to let go with one hand, which, given the length of this sword and the amount of pressure that you have to keep on it, that's going to make it really tough. I like Danielle's position right now because she has the handle of the sword basically wedged up against her chest. And so when she's actually only using one hand right now. I don't know. Does anybody know?
Yes, the hour mark has passed.
The hour. Okay. So that's why. Okay. So they're all at one. I was going to say they're all at one hand right now. Scott just got eliminated.
Scott is down.
Right. Yep.
And to be fair, I believe Chrissy was the one to trademark the cleavage strategy.
Okay, cool. Chrissy,
They haven't really showed her because she's on the end, but Chrissy has been Christy has been resting the hilt of the sword.
Right?
Chrissy.
I know, right? Chrissy. I know, we're joking because so many of the people in the house can't get her name right. They keep saying, like, I'm friends with Christy. I'm like, well, if you're really friends with her, you might want to get her name right, bitch, okay?
So,
right? Right, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, people would be surprised that Chrissy is doing so well in this competition, but she's found a good spot. She's centered. You know, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's definitely a possibility that she could pull this out, which would be hilarious if she won the endurance competition.
Again, oh my gosh, if that happened, I would be so blown away. Like she would be my last pick.
I think the house would be blown away as well. Exactly.
But good for her. I mean, she is she's like a power lifter, right?
So she's
upper body.
Yes.
So good for Chrissy.
Well, yes and no. I mean, it depends. If you're like me and you really like Shelby, then, you know, Chrissy and Shelby do not get along. So that's
true, but I'm just saying for Chrissy.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you.
For her sake. I mean,
but
like,
I don't know if people realize, like, that's the ramifications. If Chrissy wins, I think Shelby looks like the target.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I think that Shelby – I think that Shelby is probably going sooner than later. So if the deed needs to be done, I'd rather it be sooner and not, like, fall in love with her and then have to watch her be evicted or something like that.
See,
so,
I feel like not necessarily. I feel like if somebody decided to target, like, Whitney, like, put, like, Whitney and Morgan up this week, if mm-hmm. Whitney goes this week, then suddenly, like, Shelby might fade in the background.
Well, Danielle –
if she can, like, not piss people off, which, right, like, some people just don't get her humor.
By the way – this is so funny because watching this HOH competition, Justin he gives zero Fs at this point. Like, he's just like, he's like looking around, like he doesn't care. Like, it's so casual, and I won't say he's in danger, but he's definitely somebody could throw up there as a nominee if they needed to fill a spot. And I feel like he probably needs to be a little bit worried himself, although I don't think he's anybody's number one target.
Alex, is there anybody who has blatantly said that they're going to throw this competition, or does it seem like everybody that's left is going to try to win?
Yeah, it's the interesting thing, right? Because you get these live DRs, and there is a little bit of a point where it's like, are they saying what they think we want to hear, right? Because as much as that is like kind of a therapy session, and it's kind of an insight, like a view into their mind, it's also the view that they're trying to show us. You know what I mean? It's not just like a clear glass window. It's tinted. Like, they're showing us just a certain part of what they want us to see. So you had a lot of people, I think, like Shane, Justin, a few people say, like, I don't necessarily think I need to win this week, but I'm not going to throw competitions. Like, that's not going to be something I do in this game. I'm always going to try. I'm always going to go all out. And like, for me, it's hard to discern, like, is that your personality? Which for a Shane and a Justin very well might be. Or are you saying that because you don't want to be the guy? And Scott as well. Scott even said that. And it's like, or are you saying that because you don't want to be the guy, like, you know, you haven't seen Dr. Will and you don't know that there is a way to charm America by throwing things. And you just assume America likes competitors because in modern Big Brother Survivor, that tends to be accurate. So I could see that too.
Right. I have a question. So is Alex still in the competition at this point? I'm having trouble seeing, like...
Yeah, she's all the way at the end, just past Christy.
Okay, cool. So there's basically two people.
Damn it.
Crazy. There's two people from Monty's side in Whitney and
Whitney and
Alex. And once those two people drop, then I think a deal can be made between Neely and Chrissy and Justin, who are the remaining people in the competition.
All right. Well, let's.
Whitney looks pretty solid, though.
Okay, well, we will...
She's not going nowhere.
Oh, crap. Chrissy's out. Of course, I just jinxed her.
Oh, well, there you go. So Chrissy's out. We will give you guys an update towards the end of the show. For now, we're going to take some of your questions. If you want to get those in, there is still time to do so. Again, you can tweet me. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Use hashtag RehappyHour.
Come on, Justin. We need you.
All right. This question comes from at Rob's sister Nina. Rob's sister Nina says, with all of the America votes involvement, which past BB player do you think would have done the best on OTT? Alex, who do you think?
Dr. Will.
Oh, okay. What do you think, Brett?
I don't know. Dr. Will early on didn't like, he wasn't exactly liked by everybody. I mean, like, no, I'm looking at the first incarnation.
He was hated. And some people,
yeah, exactly. The people who were like,
well, by the end of BB7, he was having a relationship that he was hiding from his girlfriend on live feeds. So he was a master by the end of manipulating the camera, right, and America's perception of him.
That's true. That's true. I mean, anybody who's basically liked by America, I think would do fine. The people I'm trying to think of, the people who are liked by America pretty much all the way through, and America never vacillated in their love for them. Like people like Jeff, people like Jordan,
Janelle, like Johnny, Rachel.
I mean, the other thing too that this
James, right? Brent?
I think we're going to see. Well, whatever. I think we're going to see. We're going to see less throwing of HOHs because the house guests are not very clear on what America's thinking. So you could throw HOH and be totally safe, but what if America throws your ass up there? You know, you don't know that, you know? And Cornbread was just evicted, so all of these house guests are eligible to be dominated by America, and they don't know what America's thinking. So I love, you know, we've always dumped on the fact that, well, we don't, you know, they're giving us a vote. We don't want the vote. That's what me and Taryn always say, and Alex too, I assume. But because we don't want it as America. But given that, one, it's the live feeders who are voting, not all of America as a whole. And two, America having a hand in nominations and eviction makes these people a lot more hot-footed to win HOH because they know that's their only way to make sure that they stay off the block. People like Nicole and Corey from last season, they would be absolutely shattered if they thought that America might put them up. They would not be throwing anything. People like Steve, who threw many, many competitions in Big Brother 17, he would also maybe be trying to win some more things just to assure him of safety because he doesn't want to be thrown up by America on a fluke vote.
All right, this next question comes from Cat Likes UFOs. Cat says, what do you think of Danielle's game? It seems a little Paul-like at the moment, but for some fans, seem to be hating her for it. Alex, what do you think about Danielle's gameplay so far?
I think she's been more fortunate than good, to be perfectly honest. Like, she really did, you know, her position right now is, you know, in large part, you know, somewhat her doing, but a lot of what she was able to do is through the clout of her attachment to Shane. Like, you know, people don't tolerate her flipping the vote if Shane isn't gung-ho about it. You know, like the quote-unquote plastics, those girls are not down. Like, they were totally ready to evict Danielle this week. I mean, Shane's relationship to her is all that stops that. So I don't think she's necessarily playing well. I think she did a lot of work this week to save Chrissy and make sure it was cornbread. And, you know, when you're the other person on the block, that's a really, really risky game to play because it could just, you know, it could turn around to become you. And in fact, it almost was. Like, Whitney and Alex and Morgan, those girls almost flipped this thing on Danielle at one point. So I think, and like Brent mentioned a couple of times, there are, you know, let's see who's left in this competition. Alex is, you know, looking to target her. Alex absolutely, absolutely wants to split up the showmance right now. She feels like that's imperative. Whitney wants to target her. She's still in this thing. So you look at the people left in this competition.
It's 2-2 right now.
And it's looking very likely that Danielle could be in hot water. So
yeah,
Justin
or Danielle has to win this in order for Danielle to be safe. If Whitney or Alex wins it, I think she's in hot water. Let's just put it like that. I don't know who her other nominee would be, but dicey straits, JP.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like there's multiple kind of links in a long chain where they might not put Shane up right next to Danielle, but that would be more of a sign of respect to Monty, who's kind of the linchpin between Shane and the girls. And then on the other side, you've kind of got Scott and, you know, Scott going with Shane because he realizes Shane is in the dead middle of the house.
I'm sorry. I said earlier, I said 2-2. I forgot about Neely. Neely's still there. So it's actually 3-2 in Team Brent's favor in terms of Neely and Danielle and Justin and Alex and Whitney are the other people that are still in this at this point. By the way, Justin HOH, living for it.
Right, the jamboree side of the house.
Oh my God. Yes, exactly.
The group once known as
it's so nerve-wracking watching this competition because those swords are curved so frequently. Like, the house guests are moving the swords and you think like, oh my God, it's gonna fall. Like, I'm watching Danielle right now and I'm like, girls, don't move that sword. But it's really just like the sword kind of like rotating in her hand a little bit. That's a natural part of it. Justin, again, it's so funny watching him. I just tell you, I'm trying to like advertise the show at the same time while I'm recapping it. He's so amazing because he's literally like standing here. He's got his hands down his pants, itching as you know what. Like, that's what he's doing right now as I'm watching him. Oh my God, I love him.
Oh man. Brent, do you agree with the sentiment that Danielle is playing a Paul-esque game so far?
Yeah, I think that's a fairish comparison. I have to say, though, I really do like Danielle because she's ballsy. I don't care that she almost got herself evicted the first week by trying to flip the vote and save her friend. Like, I love that kind of spunk. I love it. I love it. I think people online love it. I don't know if she's the most popular person right now, but she's got to be up there. I mean, I love what she was able to do this week. The people that were really watching the feeds and understand how this all happened, they understand that Danielle was a big part of it. Yes, she had Shane, but without Danielle, it really wouldn't have happened, I don't think. So, you know, Shane was the catalyst for her to be able to make the move that she wanted to make. And she had her way. So I like people that try to get their way. So that's why I'm drawn to Alex, because Alex wants to have her way. And she's not one of these people that's going to slink into the background. I can't remember who it was, but somebody tweeted Rob or us earlier on Twitter. It said, you know, is everybody in the house playing right now? And is this the earliest we've had everybody in the house playing on a season? And my answer to that is, Basically, yes. I mean, you can argue that maybe somebody like Whitney, possibly Justin, isn't playing. But if you listen to Justin when he gets talking about the game, he gets very excited about it. All of these people are in it to win it, and I am in love with most of this cast.
Alex, I'll throw this next question to you. It's from your good pal, Mark Solera. Mark Solera says, was this the greatest goodbye to the house ever? With Cornbread saying, F y'all.
I think so, yeah.
All right, there we go. I wish I had a bell so I could give you a ding. Brent, do you agree with that? Is there? I don't think there has been a better goodbye almost, right? Like that, just F y'all.
You know what?
The point, amazing.
That's, you know what? If I was blindsided, that's how I would be as well. I would be like,
I wish I said that on my way out. I wish I did.
Yep. Especially, you know, like, and there's no jury this season, so you don't got to be nice to these people. That's the other thing. Like, the people who are evicting these people, they don't got to kiss up to them. They don't got to be like, and I know people are harping on me on Twitter saying, there goes Brent talking about James again. Yeah. I'm sorry. James was a major catalyst for no drama this past season. He was always blowing the secret, telling people what was going to happen. So we didn't get any blindsides. I love the fact that these people do not have to pander to a jury of their peers. They can literally, like, treat them like crap going out the door. They can go in the diary room and tell them off, and they don't got to kiss up and say good game. They don't got to do none of that. We don't have to hear any fake goodbyes from Nicole Snuckole. We don't have to hear none of that. So that's the good thing about this season that I like.
Yeah, James did suck at, you know, blowing.
He did suck.
He did
suck so hard.
He was always blowing up the things this summer. It was very much like, you know, if you. You know, God forbid you ever commit a murder or something, James would be the last person you'd call to help you cover it up. Or if you call them, they're on their way.
Right.
So if Derek's dad needed to do that, you don't think he'd call James?
He might, to his detriment.
I love it. That reminds me of the joke that Justin said on Twitter. He's like, you know, man, I'm from New Orleans. You know, if you get in an accident or something, we're so poor. If you get in an accident and you call the police, by the time the police get there, you're dead. Oh, God.
Touché.
Right. Oh, man. Okay, let's take another question. This one's from Timo. Timo says, is Scott's gameplay getting too messy? It seems like everyone's aware that he's a rat now. Is he in danger, Brent?
Yeah, he's been a little ratty lately, and people are kind of getting on to him. So he's trying to stay in the middle so much that he is perceived by both sides of being associated with the other side, and they don't like that. And they also see him talking with Alex a lot. And they know Alex is in it to win it. I think he's even been caught a couple of times talking with Alex. So he's somebody else who could go up, especially if the Jason side of the household, somebody like Neely or somebody wins head of household competition, then, I mean, he could be a second or third nominee. I don't think he would be the target, but it depends on who wins. And, you know, maybe he's playing a little too cute at this point. But on the other hand, I can't really throw shade at him for that because he's at least playing the game. And, you know, if you get caught, you get caught. You know, some people are better at it than others.
Alex, do you think he's going to get caught or do you think he's going to be able to ride this out?
Yeah, so here are some red flags, right, that, you know, really to me, the live DR is, again, very illuminating because we find out who player A trusts and we find out who player B trusts. And sometimes I think Scott was maybe the best example of someone who is putting eggs in a basket where that player is not putting any eggs in his basket, so to speak, or putting less. And, you know, Steve talked about, you know, I think one of the most insightful things Steve ever said on the podcast was that he always tried to make sure that, like, in any alliance he was in, he was contributing the least and extracting the most in terms of social value. You know, like he was basically a parasite, an alliance parasite. Like, that's what you want to be. You want to, like, latch onto the thing, like, harvest all the nutrients. And then when the thing is, like, spent, then you latch on somewhere else. Like, that's the kind of game that Scott's trying to play, ideally, right? So, but the problem here is Scott feels like, you know, Alex is someone he can really trust. in Alex's diary room, we hear that Alex is really wary of Scott. Now, Alex feels like Scott was withholding information from her. Right. And so you've got now this disconnect relationship where Scott's like, yeah, Alex is like one of my top allies, totally with me. And Alex is like, I don't think I can trust Scott that much moving forward. I've got to keep him at arm's length. So those are the things that, like, you know, a little crack starts to, you know, become bigger and bigger as time goes on. That's a warning sign. And to me, another big one was that Scott talked a lot about wanting to pull in Shelby. He sees Shelby as being so vulnerable and not having anybody that he wants to, you know, be able to just take her far. I like the idea. It seems like a good idea in theory. However, I don't know that Scott's in the position to make that move. You know, if you're Shane and you want to like pull in Shelby, you've certainly got the social clout in this game to do it. Scott is already like on some people's radars and he doesn't have people like lining up to go to bat for him. So where's he going to get the pull to save Shelby if people decide they want to go after her? I think that's a risky game to decide you're going to play and a risky person to like put your foot down on.
Right. I have to say that Scott's game is not something that I necessarily find intriguing. I mean, I've seen this game before. I feel like it's been done better by other people, and it's not exactly something that's out there like Danielle's game. It's something that's more inward that, you know, maybe other people have more respect for, but I find less appealing because after all, it is a TV show and I like my entertainment. I will say that just to be totally clear, Stacked in Florida, who I follow, says that basically Scott is Ronnie 2.0 from Big Brother 11 and that he's been caught by everyone. So maybe I'm underselling it a little bit. It's hard to watch 24/7. I can't see everything, but it does seem like Scott, at the very least, is in a worse position now vastly than he was just a few days ago.
Stay tuned to that. Yeah, I'm scared for Scott. I really am. We did say in the preseason, shades of Ronnie Talbot. And, you know, I love Ronnie, but I feel bad. Right. I feel bad for Scott. This.
By the way, on the HOH competition, Alex, first of all, Justin's dancing. So there's that.
Yeah, I saw that. What the hell is he doing with his hand down his pants?
He's freaking crazy. And Alex has gotten a warning from Big Brother to not let her right hand or her other hand not touch her sword in any way. And I'm telling you what, I'm looking at her right now and she has like her other hand in her jacket and it looks like it's like she's sort of like touching the sword with her hand in her jacket, you know, like from within the jacket. So I don't know if Big Brother can see that. Hopefully they can. It's very close at this point, but I'll put it this way. Her hand should be further away from the sword if there's any, if they're unsure at all. And I feel like she's maybe cheating a little bit at this point.
I think it's a lance, Brent.
Well, whatever. they said sword in the middle when he was reading the rules. So
touché.
Yeah, it's a lance. You're right. Yeah.
Or it's like I think it's like a fencing sword. So touche is apt.
Yeah. Well, well done, Kidwell. Okay. Speaking of live DRs, this one comes from JB Piek. JB says, what has been the most surprising thing you have heard from live diary rooms that you haven't picked up from the feeds, Alex?
That's a good question. Unfortunately, I have too many notes and I'm like dig through things. But yeah, I mean, I think the Scott stuff was really interesting because I didn't necessarily know that Scott was in a bad position until really hearing all of the live DRs and hearing, I thought Alex and Scott were good. Alex and Scott aren't that good. And like Scott, the person who in the live DRs was saying like, Scott's my number one. Cornbread, and that guy's gone. So like, you know, Scott's stock being, you know, not nearly as high as I might have thought before the live DRs, that was a big takeaway. You know, nobody mentioning, we didn't know for sure. It's like we had heard people talk about like Morgan and Alex look a lot alike, but surely if somebody knew the sisters were sisters, they would have mentioned it in the live DR, and nobody mentioned it. So I think that means they're in the clear. Like, we haven't gotten any. The person who's come the closest is Justin, who a couple times has said stuff like, man, y'all two look alike. And just, you know, and that's been enough to just like, just that one line was enough to just throw Alex and Morgan into tailspins for hours, which is like great because Justin probably forgot about it after 5 minutes. So, you know, that's something else to take away. And then, there's a few people who nobody's targeting. Like, I don't think anyone talked about coming after Neely. I don't think anyone's really looking to target. Well, one thing that's interesting, Alex feels like she needs to win this head of household. She talked about like, I need this. I think people are coming after me. And I don't think one person said they want to target Alex. So
right.
Alex has a heightened sense of paranoia regarding her game and her state in things right now.
But I like that though. I like that. I love that she's paranoid, that she feels like she has to win. Like,
and I'm sure throwing out a hinky vote is going to do wonders for that. Yeah.
Well, there are. And by the way, it doesn't look like she's totally in the clear. Like, I heard Jason and a few other people talking about that they think one of the plastics was that vote against Danielle. So they were trying to calm Danielle down, saying, you know, no, it's not America. America doesn't hate you, that sort of thing. So, I mean, it's a really ingenious plan. But, you know, that assumes that she doesn't get caught. Luckily, you know, the one thing I've always said in the past that I would find hard in the Big Brother house is it's very hard to keep a secret in the Big Brother house because you are so freaking bored. You want to tell somebody if you've done something fabulous or something strategic or anything. And then, of course, your secret eventually gets out. The one great thing that Alex does is she has her sister in the house, and her sister isn't, you know, she can be a sounding board with her sister and say, you know, I did this. I'm so proud of myself. But yet, it would not be in Morgan's best interest to tell everybody how she found out and that, you know, blah, 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 because that leads to her being Alex's sister. So I like that she's in a good position like that. It's so funny to me because during the diary rooms, Alex and Morgan both had this crazy notion that they were going to be in the house together and not work with each other and be on opposing sides. And like, I'm like, in what crazy universe was this? Like, maybe they just assumed everybody would know that they were sisters and they thought maybe they would have to really separate, but obviously that's not happening. And they've done a good job of making, for those of you who are crazy, like me, like who, like how in the hell do these people not see that these two people are sisters? They've done an admirable job, you know, whether or not you think the other house guests are dumbasses or not, of making sure that they look totally different. I think it's Morgan is always the one who's got her hair up and she's all pretty with fake eyelashes and makeup and fabulous hair. Alex, on the other hand, is always wearing her glasses. She was wearing her hair down, straight, kind of ratty looking, and just walking around in sweats and t-shirts the whole time. So they've done all they can do at this point. And I agree with Alex. I think they're in the clear.
Although I got to say, I caught a moment earlier where it immediately occurred to me, like I would have asked a subtle question here to try, like, if I had any inkling that maybe they're sisters, like they kind of, like, Alex said something when they're all in the room waiting for the competition to start, all in that one room. Alex says, as she's talking about like how bad her eyes are, and like that's an opportunity to just be like, better or worse than Morgan's. And if she answers it quickly, you'd be like, oh, how'd you know? When'd you guys talk about that?
Oh man, yeah, true. Oh,
why isn't that the play?
You're Kid so well. Feisty. I like that.
He's thinking. It's an action, but he's thinking. Speaking of all this talk, we had a question from Brent Showerman, not Brent Walker.
Another Brent.
The trick is to ask the question fast, right? Just get it in there.
Right, exactly. Like you're not trying to be shady or anything. You're just
casual.
It's gotta be a flippant question, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, question from Brent Showerman. He says, how much of the sisterly hate between Alex and Morgan do you think is drummed up by production? I think a lot of this is, right? I mean, Brent, you're saying, you just said, right? You think that it's so weird that they think that they would go in and not play together, but they couldn't actually have thought that they would go against each other, right? Like, that just doesn't make any sense. Like, didn't Alex say in her live DR that Morgan is who she trusts most?
Well, obviously, yes, now, but, you know, they're
everyone's against her,
right? When you're on the outside with, you know, with real people like you and me, and we're omniscient, we can see everything that's going on the current show, you're like, well, I would never be with my sister. I don't want to work with her. You know, she's not somebody I have anything in common with. I hate her. She's crazy, blah, 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 blah. Like Michelle with her sister when she was in the house, Michelle's sister was like tweeting things about her, you know, crazy stuff. So like, you know, when you're not stuck in a house together, you can say those kind of things. But when you're all of a sudden thrust in a situation where you have nobody who you trust, and Alex has correctly pointed out, the Alex in the house has a heightened sense of paranoia. She trusts no one. The only person she can trust at this point is her sister, and they don't realize that they're sisters. So obviously they have the go-ahead to work together. So I get where they were coming from. I don't think it was totally manufactured on CBS's part. Because it seemed to be organic coming from both of the girls. Like, I didn't want to work with my sister, but here they are. So, yeah.
Like, I genuinely do believe they probably didn't, you know, they're probably not great friends. They're sisters. They're not buddies. Like, they may not talk very often. But, you know, yeah, like, she is looking around this house and not seeing friends. She feels like the people she tried to put trust in aren't reciprocating. And so it's a situation where, you know, you're surrounded by like 11 devils you don't know and the one you do know. So, yeah, you're gonna lean that direction. One other thing I wanted to point out from the live DRs really quickly that I thought was illuminating was that, yeah, we talked about like the plastics wanting to target Danielle. Shane mentioned that his plan, which I thought was pretty interesting, is he's hoping, first of all, he's hoping that Monty and Morgan get together, because that provides a second showmance, and a second showmance like takes the heat off of him and Danielle, right? And Monty and Morgan are kind of close. I don't know if like there's anything actually going to happen there, but Shane is like, he would be the number one fan if it did, right?
Speaking of Danielle, Danielle's now out of the competition and she's really pissed. So it's down. Justin, who's still freaking dancing, is bugging the living you know what out of me. And Neely, who looks like a rock, with Whitney, who also looks like a rock, and Alex, who looks a little bit shaky. Alex, the problem with Alex seems like she, I don't know, like her, maybe her sword isn't as big as everybody else. Like, it seems like she has to really lean forward to get enough pressure on the crown. So I don't know if maybe she's too far back on the pedestal. I'm trying to see where she is, but
wingspan, Brent doesn't.
I
have
guess
wingspan.
I don't know what it is, but she shorter seems like she really has to lean forward. Justin, man, he's making me so damn nervous. I can't watch him. I can't watch.
Alex, continue on Shane.
Yeah, well, very interesting that he's hoping for a showmance to develop there where they can start a showmance alliance. And then he's seeing Alex and Scott very close. Like, obviously, like I said, Alex doesn't see it the same way, but Scott does. So, and I'm sure Scott has told Shane, you know, Scott has definitely told Shane, like, yeah, I've got Alex, we're close. So he's hoping for like an Alex, Scott, him and Danielle, Monty and Morgan thing, which pushes Whitney out in his mind, hopefully very soon. So that's an interesting tidbit where you've got like Monty's in the DR saying like my two closest people are probably Shane and Whitney and then maybe Morgan, and Shane is ready to target Whitney. Whitney's ready to target Shane's girl. So things could jump off shortly. I mean, I don't know how Monty holds all this together.
Did they have to give Whitney fewer questions? Because it seems like with how fast she talks, it would take her 3 hours.
Yeah, she's not quite that bad, but it's close. Boy, she does really elongate those words out there like that. My gosh.
I don't know if that was why or if it was just, you know, a byproduct of, you know, who the fans are wanting to hear from or who they perceive people wanting to hear from.
But
she got like 6 questions and some people got like 9 or 10.
Yeah, I agree with Alex. Like, of the 12 people in the house, Whitney is the person who I know the least. And it's hilarious. She's from my state. She's from Kentucky. So, like,
close to your Brent?
I don't think so. Like, I don't know the town she's from. So apparently it's not close.
But I mean,
I don't know anything about her other than she seems like a sweet girl. And it annoyed me earlier in the week when Jason or Justin, somebody said something about Whitney or he wanted to target Whitney, and Monty was like ranting on the feeds about like, you know, how dare they target somebody like Whitney? She's a nice Southern girl. She's going to get married and have kids. She's the things that make this country great. I'm like, maybe in 1980.
You know, Whitney's interesting because it's like, she's not very, you know, she certainly doesn't have charisma. You know, she's not like very, you know, she doesn't pop on television, right? You can't say that about her. And, you know, also like, I don't know. It's just, there's a lot of elements that remind me of, who was I going to say? Oh, man.
About Whitney. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Maggie. It really reminds me of Maggie. It's like Maggie didn't necessarily, like, in the best case scenario, Whitney does know this game, for starters. Whitney's a fan of this game. She understands the strategy.
Dude, when Monty said to her that the HOH doesn't compete in veto, she was
like... She said he's wrong, and he
was but then
so
he
certain.
Was so... Yeah, he was
five
so adamant that she believed
her,
him.
She was like, all right, well, if you're that sure...
I think she just didn't want to make him mad.
Yeah,
like, he was certain
didn't
he was right.
She didn't want to tell Monty he's a dumbass in front of America.
Right,
that's
exactly. I think that's she knew the rule. She knew.
Not only that, like, yeah, she's not like going out and like making, you know, lots of moves, lots of waves, but her private conversations with Morgan, especially, you can tell she's very astute. She's very aware of what's going on. And then, you know, her way of trying to endear herself to people, like Maggie, like, she doesn't know how to engage with people necessarily. So she offers to like do Justin's laundry for him or, you know, do stuff like that. And I do feel like, you know, it's both a blessing and a curse in that she seems relatively emotionless, right? Because, you know, she doesn't seem like she's going to be, she looks very strong in this competition. She doesn't seem like she's going to be someone who's going to, you know, be broken down by the mental or emotional elements of this game, just like Maggie, who obviously was an ER nurse and, you know, she was never going to get frazzled by the heat of the moment. but she also at the same time is going to have an uphill battle when it comes to like winning favor, both from people in the House and from voters.
I have to say that of the people who are left in the competition, Whitney would be the only one who I think would be a little bit of a boring week, because I feel like by proxy, Monty would be controlling that HOH or maybe one of the plastics. I don't know. Justin, Neely, and even Alex, even though she's on the other side, those would all be really, really fun HOHs. I feel like all of them have the possibility to be very fun. Obviously, Alex could be like another Monty and get HOH-itis, which given her and the way she plays the game, I think also would be really fun. So there's a lot of possibility for great feeds as long as Whitney doesn't win HOH here.
Well, and even here's the thing.
So, of course, that's where we're headed.
Right, right.
But even if Whitney wins, though, we could still see Monty go up from America and seeing him scramble on her HOH. I think that would be excellent.
And not only that, but I think there still will be drama, because Whitney talked about she really wants to target Danielle. Danielle feels like Shane can protect her from Whitney by proxy of Monty. So there will be fireworks if Whitney suddenly targets Danielle, because she'll go to Shane and say, what the hell? And Shane will go to Monty and say, what the hell? And Monty may then go to Whitney and say, what the hell? Or he may be like, tough shit, Shane. You know what I mean? Something's going to pop off.
I think he'll say tough shit, Shane, because earlier tonight he was venting, like I said, that they had the votes to get rid of Danielle. And he's saying that with America's vote, because he thinks America voted to evict Danielle, they had the votes to get rid of Danielle. And he would have broke the tie in favor of evicting Danielle right in front of Shane, which would have ended their romance right there before it started. So I think this romance is it's going to be short-lived.
One thing I want to bring up, Stacked in FL in the chat.
Very, very spicy tonight, Stacked.
Yes, Stacked said in the chat that Whitney is not like Maggie. She's like the molasses that Kathy from BB12 got caught in.
She does talk like she always has a mouthful of peanut butter. I will give you that.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
If you haven't seen that comp.
Kathy and the caramel.
Yeah, YouTube it and Brittany Haynes' reaction.
Oh, my God. You're taking me back. Oh, my God.
Kathy called out Brittany for being a weak competitor, and she's like, really? The person who died in the molasses? It's eating me. Oh, so good. So good. Oh,
and obviously, Maggie is a best-case scenario comparison. Like, that's what Whitney could be if she, you know, like, put her cards right.
Her final
evolved form.
So, yeah. So, worst-case scenario, Whitney is the molasses from BB12. Best-case scenario, she's Maggie from BB6.
Quite a spectrum.
We'll see. Yes.
One of these people needs to fall right now, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Alex, not Justin.
You guys are good for time? You want to keep
going? I'm here, I don't know. Hopefully, I unless it gets down to a pair, like if it gets down to Justin and Ely or Alex and Whitney, I don't think this is going to end anytime soon. So, although, Monty is now out of his chair, and is he saying something? I don't know if he is, or is he just like trying to stretch his legs?
Yeah,
I'm
not
sure.
He's just bored.
Yeah, he's bored. He's bored. He's bored of being on his throne.
He's tired of sitting there doing nothing with his hands. He grabbed the pole so he can handle something.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll take a few more. We'll take some more questions. We'll see. Maybe something will happen in the next couple of minutes here, because if we can figure out a winner, at least, you know, two people, we can discuss the scenarios and what we think potentially is going to happen. This question comes from Chris Herozenchik. Chris says, what do you estimate Jason's finish will be? He seems to get along with the house guests, but his fandom outside the house won't slip their minds. Alex?
Well, right now he seems to be in a really good place. There's really no one who wants to. That's the thing. It's like somebody at some point is going to have to decide, I'm willing to take the heat that is going to come from this. Monty tried, and it didn't work, and he kind of got sent back like a dog with his tail between his legs. So that's going to make the next person that much less confident to go for it. Especially, you know, Monty was, especially when you look at the player's leg, like Cornbread would have been down to do it. Cornbread was willing to, you know, put the necklace on him. Cornbread's gone. You start to look around and wonder who left in this house is going to have the balls, quote unquote, to make the move that they think is going to maybe better their long-term game, potentially at the expense of their short-term game.
Right. The other thing to consider too is, and this sort of just dawned on me, and it's sort of been in my head, but I kind of didn't think about it. There's no jury this season. So there's nobody here who's going to be trying to hang on until jury. I mean, how many times this season do we put up with the people who say, you know, I just want to make jury. That's all I want to do. I want to make jury. I want to get here till jury. So, you know, that's all they're there for. And then they can chill and not care after that, so they can get the stipend for, you know, whatever 13, 14 weeks or however long the season is. There's no jury. So you literally have nothing to fight for except for $250,000 that's at the end of the rainbow. So I don't know. Maybe I mean I'm loath to say whether or not I love this so much, but because we have only seen a couple weeks of it. But on the other hand, if this makes people hungrier with the America's nominee part and the fact that there's no jury, so there's nothing to quote unquote hang on for, if it makes people fight harder for the win, I'm all for that.
Yeah, definitely. We'll see. Yeah, it's interesting to see. I mean, I'm looking again. I'm optimistic about this season, but I mean, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how things play out here. And interesting that you bring that up, Brent. We got a similar question along those lines. This one comes from Kirsten McInnes. Kirsten says, "Do you think this season being online only has it had a meaningful impact on house guest actions? Why or why not, Alex? What do you think about that? Have you noticed a difference from the house guests? Do you think they are aware that pretty much everything is out there, or do you think this is kind of like a run-of-the-mill BB season in terms of, you know, house guest action so far?"
Oh yeah, no, I think I, you know, I talked about the fish tank effect. I think it's like that. I think, you know, and I think I remember saying something similar during Big Brother Canada 4 about like kind of the yeah, like the more you tap on the glass, the more rattled any creature gets. I mean, this is at its core putting people in a tank and messing with them, and kind of you can leave them alone, which is like what the old Big Brother was, and being left alone for long periods of time, you will see organisms gain confidence and go out and explore and try to, you know, forge paths and all that stuff. If you keep, you know, throwing turds in the punch bowl, proverbially, you're going to see them keep reverting to square one. You know what I mean? Like, people started to feel this game out for the first 3 or 4 days. Then Julie hits them with something. Oh, I got to readjust, reset, take it back to zero, reanalyze everything, and then think up a whole new game plan. Oh, then it turns out America has a vote, not just a nomination. Now I've got to reset that. So it does create, it definitely creates waves where kind of like everyone goes back to the corner to cower a little bit if they were, you know, gerbils in a cage, I guess. So yeah, I mean, I think it's like, it's interesting to see, but I think, yeah, the bigger the effect of like the more powerful the twist, the bigger the implication, like the more America is allowed to control this game, the more you'll see people go from what we saw, which is, you know, everyone's down to get rid of Jason versus now no one is trying to get rid of Jason.
Brent, do you think Jason will be in trouble this week with one of these, depending on who wins HOH here?
No, I don't think so. Everybody really seems to want to get rid of Danielle, who's on the opposite side of the house from Jason. Looking at these people and the way they're holding their lances, it's very interesting because Neely has, I mean, I know you guys can't see me if you're on a podcast, but she has her hand as an overgrip and sort of is like, you know, kind of punching the sword into the crown. And Justin, on the other hand, has the sword kind of just in his open hand, like away.
Well, he's from, just dancing with his.
Away
he's
from like, it. So, right, it's away from his body. He's currently dancing right now again.
Yeah,
he just cannot sit like, still.
Yeah,
I cannot watch him because it scares the hell out of me. Alex and Whitney have managed to sort of prop the sword against their body, especially Whitney. Whitney looks like a rock. I mean, she looks – I can't believe that Justin has lasted as long as he has, because he is not using the same technique that Whitney and Alex are using, which is basically propping the end – the handle end of the lance against their body, against their chest, and using that as leverage over the sword. So I have to think we're going to get an Alex or a Whitney HOH based on the way things look. But on the other hand, I said Shane looks really good, and he dropped like in the first three people. So you never know.
Okay, well, let's just quickly talk about the potential HOH scenarios here, because I don't think we're going to make it as long as this comp is going to go, based on how still you mentioned that Alex and Whitney are right now. So we talked about the scenarios for Whitney briefly to just go over it again. If Whitney wins, we assume Monty's going to have a lot of control over her HOH. She's probably going to put up Danielle and some sort of pawn, Alex?
If Whitney wins?
Yes.
Or
Danielle and Jason all over.
Danielle and Jason, to be honest with you. I mean,
yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Whitney is like one of the people who we haven't seen. She said nothing in the live DR to indicate that she is trying to change her game based on the America stuff. This is a girl who knows, unlike Alex, who's watched some BB Can and some foreign seasons and may have an idea about the impact that America's you know, presence may have in this game. Whitney, I think, is exclusively a fan of Big Brother US, and, you know, her strategy, I think, is when in doubt, just put my head down and double down and just go with what I know, which, you know, I mean, that is going to be what she does probably. Yeah, Danielle and Jason, she's going to, you know, what Monty tried was a good idea, and if it isn't broke, don't fix it.
If Justin wins head of household, you know, the one person he said that he didn't really click with was
Cornbread and Monty. He said
I was gonna say Monty
shady.
Exactly.
Yeah, Justin said a little earlier to Monty, I think he's coming for that ass. Monty. So there you have it.
That's great. Well, yeah, obviously, and I loved it. And if Neely wins head of household, Shelby has to be a likely target, and I don't know who would be nominated with her.
Yeah, Monty, Neely said Shelby's the only person she felt like she didn't vibe with in this house, so she wouldn't know what to do there. Yeah, it's hard to say. She probably would have liked to put up Cornbread, but that's not an option now. So
okay, and then what about an Alex win? If Alex wins here, who do you think?
Danielle.
Danielle, she's putting up Danielle.
She's the one person who I think might be trying to. I mean, because she knows the game, she's got the background, she understands the role and the danger of a showman's. She's the one person who I think might not be able to be convinced to just go straight for both of them, Danielle and Shane together. Therefore, Shane can't save Danielle and so forth. You know what I mean? And
right.
Whereas other people, Whitney, Morgan, maybe Monty can talk them out of putting Shane up there next to her. I think Alex is definitely, given her knowledge of the game and how, yeah, if you only put up one of a showman's, how often do they manage to save both members? So I could definitely see her just targeting them outright.
Okay, well, I think that's going to do it then for this edition of the Happy Hour. I know. We're not going to make it. Yeah,
we're
not
going to
make it. I don't know if people realize, but the closest we've ever had to this comp is a competition in Big Brother 5 where people had likenesses of themselves with a button on them, and they were, like, literally holding the button all night. I believe that competition went until 6 in the morning. Like, the sun was definitely rising on the West Coast when that competition ended, so... there's just no way that we can guarantee we're going to be able to
see
the end of this
too?
Thing.
Because, like, I mean, this competition is cheap as all hell. Let's be honest. I mean, there's like a little like a cutout face of them on a makeshift like shield. They're calling it a person, their knight or whatever. And there's a little carpet between them. I mean, I feel like we're back in Big Brother 2 or 3. And this is great. I mean, I love stuff like this. So, I don't need the freaking slip and slide. Give me this.
Yeah, I still need the slip and slide. We can get rid of true or false or before or after or like putt-putt. But I still need my freeze plans,
Brian.
Come on now.
All right.
Okay. For those of you in the chat room, if you could brainstorm some hashtags as we wind things down here, that would be great. Just a reminder, if you want to subscribe to the Rehappy Hour, you can do so by going to robinswebsite.com/Rehappy Hour. You'll get all of the shows on iTunes. You can leave a rating and review while you're there. That really helps the podcast grow. We did a rating and review contest for last season. I haven't decided if we're going to do that again, but if you do leave one, you know what? Screw it. Let's just do it again. I've had a lot of fun. 3 people at the end of the season are going to get a Skype call with me if you leave a rating and review. If you haven't done so already, please go ahead and leave one. Again, that's robinswebsite.com/happyhour. If you've already left a review, you're automatically entered into the draw, so no need to worry about that. You can also subscribe to the podcast on YouTube. Go to robinswebsite.com/YT. Then you can see the video version of this podcast. You can see my imitation of Justin's dancing, a few other things that we had going on in the video version of this show. So lots of great stuff. Brent yawning there. Very interesting things. So make sure you subscribe if you haven't already. Okay, guys, Alex, any final thoughts before we say goodbye?
Yeah, just looking ahead, because the schedule has been so confusing for everyone with this season. I think it's just good to talk about kind of what's coming up. Sometime tomorrow, Julie's going to have an exit interview with Cornbread. We don't know exactly when that is. Tomorrow, again, all Big Brother time at 7 p.m., so Pacific. That's when the daily recap is for tomorrow. And then Friday at 1 p.m. house time is the first care package delivery, I think, assuming that they are starting this week. So,
okay, so there you go. There you go. Brent, anything to add?
No, honestly, like I said before on the show on Sunday, Great cast, great season. Liking what I'm seeing from the show so far. Getting to see all of the unedited parts that we were denied before for no reason whatsoever. I have to echo what Nefarious, was it Potato on Twitter said?
Okay, yeah.
Where she or he, I don't know who it is, but said basically after seeing this, I'm not going to be able to go back to Big Brother proper because with Jeff Fish for 5 hours, you know, I mean, what motivation would they have to do that again after showing us all of this? Okay. And getting to see the man behind the curtain, proverbially, why in the world would they have Jeff Fish for 5 hours or something? I mean, everybody watches the TV show anyway. Don't they get about that by now? If you showed me the veto competition on the feeds proper, I would still turn into the TV show to watch like the diary rooms that I don't get to see. I would still tune in for that. So I mean, maybe I'm preaching to the choir to everybody. I know you guys agree with me on this, but after seeing this, it's going to be very hard for me to get back to Big Brother, like Canada, Big Brother US, where you have to, you know,
everything's
so
edited. Big Brother Canada is going to be a nightmare for you.
I love this season.
The feeds are down more on there than they're on.
Right, because you're not paying for anything, exactly. So, exactly. I mean, that's the trade-off there. On the other hand, I'd rather pay for something and be able to see everything. So that's why I'm paying $9.99 with no commercials on my feed. So y'all should do the same.
One other thing, if you want to chat with me and some other great RHAP fans while you're watching the live feeds, I don't usually have time to watch during the week, but during the live recap episode, I was in the RHAP fans chat room on CBS All Access on the wherever where you watch the feeds. So if you want to chat with me next week, I'm in there. Jordan B. Parhar. I had a lot of people question if that was the real me, but that was me. Jordan Parhar was taken, so I had to use that one.
Jordan Parhar was taken. Okay, yes, cool. I'm always Brent from Rap. So, and they're Brent, like, "Is this a real Brent?" Yeah, this is a real Brent. So, like, okay. I mean, like anybody would want to pretend to be me. Come on,
right?
Somebody pretended to be me for some reason. So, you say that, but. And then you'll have somebody reach out to you on Twitter telling you what a nice conversation you had the day before, and you will have no idea what they're talking about.
That is so funny. Okay, I'm looking at hashtags. I don't really nothing really jumps out to me, guys.
I like the phonetic EFFYALL.
Beautiful. I love it. Brent, you in?
What is that? What does that spell?
Phoneticize. EFFYALL. F y'all.
Oh, F y'all. Oh, okay. I'm with you. Yeah. I'm
yes.
in.
So hashtag F y'all spelled EFFYALL. And guys, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I had so much fun. I mean, working the night shift, it's late. I'm tired. Alex and Brent are tired. But BBOTT is a lot of fun. And it's been really exciting so far. And I'm very happy about how this season has gone. And I can't wait to see where things go from here. And I hope that we get to see some of you guys in New York in a couple weeks. I think it's going to be a hell of a good time.
Come see us in New York.
Yeah, we hope to see you guys there. $10 if you're in the greater, you know, whatever New York area. I don't know what you call that.
And there'll be lots of Big Brother house guests.
Might be some surprise house guest appearance. You never know who might show up to this.
Well, Alex, who do we have tentatively confirmed? Just so people know.
Oh no, I don't want to throw names like that out. Big Brother house guests are notoriously fickle. Some that have said nothing whatsoever and have been ghosts might show up. And some that have been like adamantly positive, I will absolutely be there, might disappear on us. So I don't think that's wise.
Yeah, okay.
I'll be the bad guy.
Just so you know, there'll be probably, we're hoping, we've got about 5 people that have said they're in. We don't know for a fact if that's happening or not. Who knows? Could be less, could be more. But we will be there. We will not bail on you guys. So if you come, it'll be a really good time. One other programming note, just so you guys know, we will be back Sunday night. On the Happy Hour, I believe we're going to be going live at 7 p.m. Eastern, so we don't go against the presidential debate.
Good.
Another reminder as well, you can listen to Rob. He'll be back on RHAP talking about BBOTT on Friday afternoon, so you can follow him on Twitter. He's at Rob Sesternino if you want to see the exact time for that. Final thing, we've got a bonus podcast coming for you guys on Monday, and I haven't told the LFC about this yet. But I have been chatting with Victor Arroyo III and El Fitvic, and he will be coming on the podcast Monday, upcoming Monday, October 10th, Thanksgiving in Canada. Victor will be on the show 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. So that should be a lot of fun. We're going to go through his game week by week. talking about El Fitvic and what his adventure in the house. So if you have questions for Victor, you can send those to me, happyhour@robhasawebsite.com. Okay, guys, so that is going to do it for this edition of the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. For Alex Kidwell and Brent Wagamont, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag F y'all. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out.
And we'll tweet out links for the show, the live show.
All right, guys, as promised, here is the bonus coverage in the show to let you guys know who won HOH. What happened was Whitney and Justin dropped unexpectedly. Well, Justin was not a surprise. He was dancing the entire time, but Whitney was looking pretty solid. So it came down to Alex and Neely in the competition. Alex offered Neely a deal to drop. Neely declined the deal, but she fell down regardless. So Alex is your new HOH in the BBOTT house for week two. Currently, her target is Shane and Danielle. That is basically what Brent and Alex were saying on the show. So it's still very early in the process. I'm recording this very early on Thursday morning, or I guess you could call it Wednesday evening, however you want to look at it. So we will see how things play out coming up in the next few days. But as of right now, it looks like the showmance is the main target for Alex and the Plastics. If you want to make sure that you keep in touch with all of these updates, you can follow Alex, Brent, and Taryn on Twitter. Alex is at Alex Kidwell, Brent is at One Lucky Gay, and Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn. There's going to be an update as well on Friday. Don't forget to check that out on RHAP. If you want to make sure you don't miss that, go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Okay, guys, thanks so much for tuning into the Happy Hour today. Had a lot of fun, as I always do. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Reality TV, we're happy hour. Reality TV, we're happy hour. Oh, yeah. The theme song of the Reality TV, we're happy hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryanelder.music.com.